Welcome back to the Cover Zero podcast. Another week is in the books, except for, of course, the Monday night game, which thankfully we only have one this week. But nonetheless, we are sitting here concluding the week four Sunday slate. I'm your host, J-Rob, joined first by Corday. Bro, good to have you on for the video feed. How you doing?
It's good to be here, man. I'm happy to be the video feed going up. I got my Fly Eagles Fly hat. I got my shoe game collection. We was talking about it in the chat. I'm happy to be here, though.
The other man with some very nice kicks of his own, Jay, joining us as well. How are you, bro?
I'm doing good, bro. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing all right. Speaking of kicks, man, you know, I had to pick up those playoff eights, man. So, you know, we was talking about kicks in the chat and all that, you know what I'm saying? So I had to pick those up, you know what I'm saying? Add to the little shoot collection. Nothing too crazy. But yeah, other than that, man, I'm doing good.
Yeah, I established that I guarantee I have the weakest shoe game out of everybody in the chat. I don't have any kicks like that. It's all functionality. I don't buy my own shoes really ever anymore. My mother-in-law, shout out to Tammy Nomi, every year for my birthday, she buys me the same, just Nike Freeze. And that's generally what you're going to see me in. Black and white. That's it. But today, we're going to come with our ICUs. We're going to come with our what's going on, our typical Sunday slate. Corday, we're going to kick it off with you first. What's going on? Who do you have on this Sunday?
Oh, no. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on?
Man, I got the New England Patriots, man. Like, what we doing here, man? Mac Jones threw 2 interceptions. They got blown out 38-3. Just a ridiculous game. And it's funny because Mac Jones threw 2 interceptions. One was a pick six, but then he got stripped for a fumble that got returned for 6. But then I remember I'm watching the game. He fading back, and then a corner drops the ball. They literally probably could have been another pick six. So it probably could have been like 40-3. I'm just saying, what is going on? They pulled him in the third quarter. Have Billy Zappi out there, another QB controversy probably heading its way to New England. And this New England team ain't looking good. The defense looks solid. The defense always looks solid, especially when they play the Jets. But that offense leaves you wanting more, man. Zeke Elliott came back to Dallas. He wanted to eat up and stuff like that. That man left starving. He left starving. It was nothing on that plate. They couldn't do nothing out there in Dallas.
Yeah, that was the worst loss of Bill Belichick's career. Actually, I didn't know that at first, but until I was looking at the numbers on it, like, he never had a loss like that. And that one of those, the pick six you were talking about, that was a Deron Bland jumped the out route that he threw from like the far hash to the field side on like an out route. That, first of all, Mac Jones don't have an arm. Like, he don't got gas on his arm. And then he threw it late. Like, what did you expect was going to happen here, bruh? Like, that was not a very impressive showing from them. And this, I think, may start to bring in the question of, is it time where we start talking about Bill Belichick's job security?
Ooh. And you know what? Didn't we discuss that a little bit?
We kind of touched on that with the preview. Like, this season, depending on how things go, what could it be?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good one. Yeah, that's true. It's crazy because this is one of the games, obviously, Jordan, that we previewed. And we both thought, you know, it was going to be a better game. I'm sure the media thought the same thing. A lot of fans thought it was going to be the same thing. Nobody thought it was going to be Bill Belichick's worst loss. I think I think it's really a testimony of how good that Dallas defense really is, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. Matt Jones is not, you know, obviously, you know, he's shaky. He's in and out, you know what I'm saying? The OC, I talked about the chemistry and all of that. But for the most part, man, that Dallas Cowboys defense is like, it's wrecking havoc. And that's why I thought last week really wasn't really shit last week. You know, I mean, they lost Arizona. You knew they probably fell asleep. They was going to take their anger out on this game here. We thought it was going to be closer, but you know, you knew they were going to come to play, but damn, you know what I'm saying? Like they really put a hurting on that offense, you know? And again, with the Cowboys, not to keep talking about them. I know we're talking about, you know, New England, but Dak wasn't like super crazy or anything. That. So, you know, this defense is really, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It is. And it's funny when we were talking about, like, in the preview, the difference between when you bring in, when you get rid of Matt Patricia and how absolutely bad that was, right? The offense now, it hasn't really, at times it might look a little bit more cohesive, but production-wise, offense is not clicking. It's like Juju isn't even like, so he was supposed to be a guy.
I'll be forgetting he's there, bro.
Yeah.
I'll be forgetting he's there.
I literally just thought he was there.
Yeah. It's like they get invisible so many times, and he was supposed to be in a receiving core that needed stability and needed someone who was a chain mover and needed someone who could bring some type of yak ability or something more to the table. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we were saying, he's not there. So what's going on with New England? That's definitely one that needs to be brought up. It's going to be interesting to see, though, how this plays. I don't necessarily know if they'll fire Belichick. I don't feel like his track record and tenure has it. But like in the offseason, if we get one of those both sides agree to step away type of things, we'll have to go ahead and see how the rest of the season unfolds before we get to that spot of it. But yes, definitely New England. What is going on? Jay, who are you calling into question on this Sunday?
I got to go with the Bengals, bro. I got to go with the Bengals. You know, it wasn't last year. I think it was the year before when they started 0-2. Was it the year before they started?
That was 0-2? Just last year.
Or was it last year? Okay, last year they started 0-2. Obviously, they make the playoffs and all of that. But this year, this team is just, it don't seem like the 0-2, although now they're 0-3. Even when they were 0-2, it didn't feel like the same. It felt like this team, something's off with this team. You could tell players are getting frustrated. You heard Jamar Chase, where he was upset, talking about he's always open and stuff like that. So now, you know, the wide receiver and the quarterback, now they're having, you know, Joe hasn't said anything, but obviously, right. I'm sure, you know, he probably pulled him to the side. They probably talked about it, but now they're having issues, and we've never seen that before. You know, and they go way back, obviously, you know. So, and then you look at the running back, Joe Mixon's not playing well at all. Like, I mean, Joe Mixon, he's been a top five back, you know, in the last few years here, and he's not playing well. And the defense, you know, we talk so much about Lou on this pod. You know, we are pro Lou's. Mm-hmm. We always talk about them, and the defense don't even look good. You know, for you to go against offense, knowing what the offense is going to do, you know what the Titans is going to do. Man. You know they're going to run. if no offense is more predictable, this is the most predictable offense, and they have success. But they are one of the most predictable offenses in the league.
Right.
With King Henry and Ryan Tannehill to play action pass. But, I mean, Henry was able to get everything. Anything he wanted, he got today against that defense. And that's surprising because Lou is one of them dudes. And just so far, that's what I'm saying. That's why I got to say what's going on with this team, because it's just the whole team, from the defense, from the coordinator, the head coach, the wide receiver, the quarterback. Joe don't look the same. I don't know.
I mean, that calf, bro. Let me ask you this, Jay. If you were the Bengals right now, because we see Joe cannot move. He's not the guy that can move in the pocket at all. He hits his drop and he gets rid of the ball. Like, the only reason they beat the Rams last week in primetime was just because get back, throw, little dinkers the whole game.
Right.
Would you consider benching Joe right now just to get his calf right? Maybe they take their lumps, and then when he starts to get better, they end up maybe making a push at some point down the season, maybe for just a couple weeks to see if that calf gets better?
Yeah, I probably would have a conversation with him and see if that's what's going on. You know, I mean, if that's really what's hindering him, which that's a good point. That's probably what's hindering him. He's not really saying much. So I probably would. I would consider it. I mean, they're already 0-3. I'm not saying that they're not. They still got a chance to make the playoffs, but it's just not looking good right now. So I probably would.
Right.
If I'm the head coach, I'm going to have that conversation with him, you know, and obviously, you know, it's going to be pushback because he is the star. He is the quarterback and stuff like that. He wants to play. But I mean, you know, if you're hurting the team and you're not getting better, you know, then you definitely got to consider that.
Yeah, actually, that's something I was wondering.
They actually 1-3, Jay. They won on Monday against the Rams.
1-3. Yeah. 1-3.
Literally, Joe Burrow said if it wasn't for the fact that they were staring at 0-3 in the face when they played the Rams, he probably would have set out because he reaggravated it in week two. So I honestly think that calf is holding them back, and that's why Jamar Chase got so mad. But on Monday, he did so well because they just kept – it was drop back, throw it to him immediately, let him, like, get the ball immediately and try to do something with it. T. Higgins broke his ribs and was out for the rest of the game.
Today
at the Titans. So it was literally just Jamar Chase, and he just made him one-dimensional. Just, we're going to double Chase, and then we're going to go after Joe. And because he's immobile, we just, like, force him into bad throws to just have him throw it in the dirt. So if it was me, too, I would probably sit him 2-3 weeks as well, let that calf – heal up, because you don't want it to see what you don't want it to happen. What would happen to Aaron Rodgers when he tore the Achilles? It can get way worse. Throwing him out there, and we know that O line ain't the greatest, and Joe like to hold on to the ball for a long time because he likes to throw it out there. But hey, if he can't do it and he hindering the team, sometimes you got to do something else to change the game plan up and start using a top five running back like a Joe Mixon.
Yeah. You know, and at some point, you know, like you were saying, Jay, he will push back. We all know Joe's a competitor. He's really thirsty with that. That's in his nature. But at times, coaches got to step in and protect that player from himself and look at the bigger picture of everything. Mm-hmm. And that might be. And we, sitting here where we don't know the severity of what the calf is and what they've talked about. But I think that'll be something to monitor to see if he does take some time off to kind of use that as like, okay, let's get right elsewhere. Let's get Joe right, and then let's see what else we can do. Because this season is starting to get squandered away, especially when we consider what the expectations were for that squad going in.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And we're off on it. And the defense, too, you brought up Big Lou. Very, very good point. Like, there's, you know, we kind of were talking about the offense and what Joe's dealing with, how they're all mixed up. But defensively, one of the questions that we had talked about is when they lost Jesse Bates in free agency to Atlanta, and they lost Von Bell, and he also left and went to Carolina. What was that going to look like for them on that back end? And teams have been able to have success with big plays through the air over and over again against this defense. And also, my guy, Miles Murphy, he can't even really get on the field, make an impact. I mean, what's going on, Cincy? Definitely, definitely a big question here. What's going on, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. I got a quote for y'all that I found today. Yeah, their offense is not built to come back from big leads. The offense just isn't built that way. You know, y'all know who said that? Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator. He said that before the game.
Wow.
What is going on? Your coordinator, right, who last year was the OC with the fewest offensive TDs in 2022, right? Then this year, they are on pace to finish with 17 total TDs at the rate that they are going at now. That would be a historically low rate for the NFL since they have indoctrinated 17, let alone 16 games, right? After finding success last week against the Raiders, they go and put up this ugliness against the Texans where they have 50 yards of offense in the first half, didn't take a single snap on the other side of the 50-yard line. They didn't have one play in Houston territory at all. I mean, Matt Canada also, he's been there now for this is his third season so far, four weeks in, 37 games. This team has scored 20 points 10 times, just 20, 10 times.
Yeah.
Right. There are teams that we all know average far, 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 far more than that. In the modern day NFL, it's like, hey, if your defense can hold someone to 20, you expect your offense to be able to put up more than 20, and you win the game. That's the general expectation. He is the only person to have coached this many games as a coordinator, calling plays, and never put up a 400-yard total offense mark. Never.
Yeah.
On average, in the NFL, teams will do that 25% of the time, and he has never done that in 36 games that he has coached. Right? It's awful. Bro, the 4th-and-1 where, sadly, Kenny Pickett took a shot and got hurt and then got pulled from the game. We're going to go ahead and see how he's going to be going forward, but they elect to go for it on 4th-and-1. For the first time leading into that, the running game actually had some type of a success. Instead, they go 5 out in the route, empty, with this terrible offensive line that has not been playing well. Dan Moore, who was leading the NFL in pressures allowed, like, bruh, we got to put your backup in this week. They had to do that. And then Pickett gets sacked. There's no in-breaker short. It's 4th-and-1, bro. And these dudes are running out of the picture. All of the routes are that far downfield on 4th-and-1, and you in empty protection. And Pickett get hit. Pickett get knocked out the game. I mean, Mike Tomlin is no fool. We talked about it. We are Big Lou. We are definitely pro Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is him as far as a head coach goes. And he will eventually right this ship. But for right now, what's going on? We got to see something different. And Mike Tomlin did say changes are about to come. Yeah. And
you know what that means. You know what that means. That's a good one. It's a what's going on for the Steelers offense. That's how I would like to phrase that.
Yeah.
Steelers Matt offense. Canada, really. Matt Canada.
Yeah, real soft.
Because they do have some talented pieces on that offense, but they can't put it together because that sorry ass OC. And we talked about him too. We talked about him on the AFC North preview. You know, so we knew his job was probably going to be on the line. Well, it is on the line. Yeah. And now it's a hot seat right now for him.
Yeah. For sure, indeed. We'll now go to the brighter side of things as we do talk about the teams or the players or the performances that really stole the show for you on Sunday. And Corday, we'll swing this one back to you first. Who's your ICU? I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you.
My ICU goes out to Khalil Mack, man. Has 6 sacks this Sunday against y'all Ravens, which is very unfortunate. I ain't trying to rub it in, but man, the last time this is rare air. The last time this has happened was 2017 with Adrian Claiborne. Then in 2007 with the New York Giants against my Eagles on Sunday Night Football at that. And then he joins Derek Thomas and Fred Dean in this elite class of getting 6 sacks in one game. It's ridiculous. It's a huge highlight. That man was unblockable, unstoppable. I was hoping he would get 7, maybe to break the record, just because this is just so hard to do for you to get 6. And coming into this game, he had no sacks on the season.
Yeah,
so to have sacks in one game definitely is huge. Like, that's one of those you in the zone and they can't stop you. And sometimes it looked like he was tired, and I wish he would have got subbed out or come back in. But if he would have had a little more juice in the tank or something like that, he probably could have got like 7 and probably tied the record with Derek Thomas.
Okay, yeah. Next. No, I'm just
next, skip you.
Nah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
It had to be mentioned today.
Yeah, it had to be. I mean, we don't see players getting 6 sacks like that.
Right.
You know, not often at all. And for him to do it against a former team, you know, it's pretty impressive. And he's played the Raiders a few times since he's been gone. So, you know, this was his best game, period. And like you said, Corday, good point, because he has not had no sacks at all. And it's only a few games in, but still, he hasn't had none. For him to get 6 in this one right here, that's big time right there. He didn't have no help. Joey Bosa wasn't on the other side.
Joey Bosa was out. Derwin James was out.
Yeah.
You got to step up. J.C. Jackson hasn't looked the way he's looked. I mean, we've talked a lot. A lot of people have talked about what this Charger defense has been like, what the offense has been like. I mean, there's been all these things been talked about the Chargers. I mean, Justin Herbert had that issue with his finger after he threw the interception.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of things that had been unraveling for that team.
Yeah.
And for just this veteran to come in and make a stamp like that, that's big.
Yeah. He basically won in the game. He basically kept him in the game and won the game. Mm-hmm. So basically having all these sacks. They needed each and every last one of them because they only won by 7, but it was real close. And having those 6 sacks stopped a lot of drives. So, shout out to Khalil Mack.
Yep. Jay, who's your ICU?
I got Baker Mayfield, bro. I got Baker Mayfield, man. I want to go with him. Again, going back to that Buccaneers, you know, we talked about them. I briefly brought them up on another ICU, but it was a whole off. I think it was a team.
The whole team, yeah.
Yeah, it was a whole team. And Baker Mayfield, man, I'm just impressed. I mean, you know, we talked about Derek Carr possibly being the best quarterback in this division. Mm-hmm. Right now, man, Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in this division right now, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the way he's playing to do it against that Saints defensive line, that Saints defense has been playing really, really well. You know, they put up the most points against this defense. He was a big part of that. He had 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. No quarterbacks even had 2 touchdowns, I don't think, against this defense. So for him to have 3, he had 1 interception, not too bad. He completed 78% of his passes. Baker's not known for that type of stuff.
No, man. No. You kind of live with the good and, you know, you take the bad as it comes with him. But to get efficiency, man, that's house money right there.
House money, bro. Almost 300 yards. He had 246 yards in passing. He had a great game, man. He had a really, really great game, you know, and just been really impressed, really, with this whole team, with his play, Todd Bowles, the way this team has really been playing. Because I buried this team. I thought, like, you know, this ain't no way. But they're mm-hmm. playing really well, playing really good football, and Baker's been a big part of that. So, yeah, he's definitely my seed.
Yeah, that's a good one. Stop the progressive commercials, and then his game progressed instead.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right. That's how that works. Exactly. Right. I was thinking, man. I was like, man, hopefully we don't see no more of those progressive commercials, man.
They were kind of funny. I'm not going to lie. They were kind of funny.
They were at first, but then when he kept losing, it was looking terrible. It was like, we need to stop seeing these.
Because last season, and when those commercials were airing, and when he was with the Browns, it's like, bro, you a better actor than you are quarterback.
Yeah,
and
we talked about that. Yeah.
He's now flipped that. He's flipped that now. Yeah. So yeah, definitely an ICU worthy. I'm gonna have to keep my eye on this Bucks team. I actually haven't fired up any all 22 of them, but I'm gonna turn that on and kind of see how they're doing because they are surprising right now, big time in that division.
And 3-1. 3-1 and a big bounce back after Monday Night Football losing to the Eagles. You know, losing to my team. But then it was a huge bounce back. And Mike Evans went down, I think, like in the second quarter with a hamstring injury in return. So still be able to dominate this team with Mike Evans being out. Even though it's funny, Mike Evans don't play well against the Saints anyway.
Marshawn, baby.
My boy. Yeah, you know my boy, Lattimore, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. So, man, but they was able to win this. And it was like the first – it was like the – like the second time they won in like five tries or something like that. Cause I know they just come Brady a lot.
The last Lena just whacks Brady when he was there. Yeah.
Yeah. So this don't happen often. The Saints usually have their number. So.
Right. Yeah. Even though like the Bucs, I know it was about your ICU was specific to Baker. Like we were talking about the defense and what Todd Bowles was doing. This was also the return of Alvin Kamara, like the other person to give firepower to this offense. This was a game where Alvin Kamara had 13 grabs, 33 yards only.
Yep.
Like, I mean, and Chris Olave was like a non-factor in this game as well. So, like, the Bucs, man, I mean, with the way the NFC is kind of shaken up and how we're seeing this season start to take place, Bucs are a surprise team, man. Bucs are a surprise team, and they got that formula that could get them in the playoffs, and depending on matchup, maybe a win, but that's a little ways away.
Right.
My ICU today, I gotta give it to Justin Fields. I got to give it to Justin Fields today. Denver ended up beating them by 3 points. In this game, Fields threw a pick late that was the reason why they lost. I would say that was the play that determined the game was over. But he in no means was the reason why they lost. The only reason it was as close as it was is because of what Justin did with his arm today and how he played the quarterback position. That man was 28 of 35, 4 touchdowns, an interception. And he also had a fumble that was scooped up on a pick six. The fumble. Or not a pick six, but a scoop and score six. Fumble wasn't as much as something I would blame him for.
Yeah.
Play action roll out, and as soon as he turned around the corner, no one clipped the edge rusher, and he had right in his face.
Now you can do that. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, that unblocked edge. He didn't chase the misdirection away, which considering you're playing a zone read quarterback, that backside end has to contain, like, or his responsibility is just quarterback no matter what. So why are we even doing this in the first place? I mean, you know, that's something right. But it's how he played. Yeah. He was decisive. He was throwing under pressure.
Yeah.
He was throwing from like muddy pockets. He was hitting tight windows. He was playing on time, on rhythm. The things we've wanted to see. In the first half, he was perfect. He was 16 of 17 in the first half, completed his first 16 passes of the day, something that no other Bear quarterback has ever done. Man. Ever. And he had 231 yards and 3 TDs at halftime. The only incompletion at halftime was because there was like 1 second on the clock and they tried a Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Right.
That's the only incompletion.
Right.
Literally perfect. His first TD too. That TD is the one that I was like, okay, Justin, that's some nice quarterback play right there. They motioned DJ Moore from the left slot all the way to the right side. And the whole entire time it was Jaquan McMillan, the backup slot corner, because K'Wan Williams is on IR for Denver. He follows DJ all the way across the formation, signaling man coverage. Right. Justin looks over there. They have a dagger concept on, which is the slot is going to run a 9 route and the outside receiver is going to run an in breaker right behind it. The safety drives on the in breaker to Mooney. And so does the man cover corner who was guarding him, leaving a 1-on-1 with this backup corner and a slot fade with DJ Moore in a step. And he put it up there the perfect timing when he saw the safety drive on the dagger concept. That's how you play quarterback. Yeah. It might seem simple, but that like these are the things we wanted to see Justin do. And we saw him do that today. The next touchdown was one where they had verticals going. It was like 4 verts, but both of the receivers were on the left side of the field. So on the right side of the field, you had Blassingame, the fullback, and you had Cole Kmet, the tight end, right? So those two went deep, and the two on the left went deep. But the safety, of course, is going to shade over to the two receiver side. The second Justin saw that, he looks to the right. He sees Singleton not carry Kmet up the seam. When he let that ball go was the most beautiful thing about it to me, is because he just recognized it right away. His timing, his understanding of how to read it out and how to get there and be decisive with it, that was just the things I really love seeing today. Unfortunately, they had to let the dumbass Broncos go ahead and pick up their first win of the season, but I don't put this on Justin at all. There was a questionable move on 4th down, not necessarily to go for it like Matt Eberflus ended up doing. I agree, going for it, 4th and 1, close game. This is just terrible play call. A dive out of the gun. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, dive out of the gun. I think coming out of a timeout too. Like they had set it all up, and then they had the Broncos called a timeout, and they ran the exact same play. So they knew exactly what's coming. Usually, what other teams do, like, okay, this is the formation. All right, we're gonna call timeout, prepare for it, and they still ran the same play, and it just didn't work. So yeah, that's also on the head coach and the defense too, because I think it was up like 28-3 at one point.
Yeah.
The defense running back in the game. So yeah, that's on them.
It is. I mean, Justin, if he's going to have to put up 30 plus to win, you know what I mean? Like, that in itself is what's going on. But for Justin here today, Justin Fields, I see you, bro.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And it's good that you kept, you stuck with, although they lost, he still was your ICU. I think that was pretty dope. That was dope. Because it is sad. I mean, you know, he has a great game, probably his best game yet.
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? You know, especially with the with his passing, you know. So this was a good one. It was a good one. It sucks that they lost, but it was a really good one that he had.
Right. Yeah. White Sox lost today. Cubs lost today. Bears lost today.
Yeah.
But Justin Fields was a bright spot in the city of picking yourself up by your bootstraps. That's what they call it here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I see you, Justin. That is all the time we got for you today. Quick little one just to recap week 4. We will be back with our week 5 preview coming out this following weekend to look at the action. I mean, it's October right now. Best sports month of the year is upon us. We are here. Keep it locked. Cover 0.